This is Clearly Christian with Dr. Cy Smith, bringing light and giving voice to our country's single greatest hope while moving the culture to God's design. Our mission, to increase the census of those who live and influence society from a biblical worldview. The time for Clearly Christian is now. Here is your host, Dr. Cy Smith.
I'm Dr. Cy Smith, and this is Clearly Christian, a podcast about what it means to see the world from God's perspective, and then the impact that this has on training the next generation to live a life consistent with the biblical worldview. If you have been following along or you like the show, I would encourage you to hit the subscribe button, leave a review. That'll certainly let others know that the show is worth listening to, and that'll certainly help us advance the cause of both Christian education and the Clearly Christian podcast. Our guest today is Dr. Thomas White, president of Cedarville University. Dr. White is one of the most well-respected Christian college presidents in the country and a respected organizational leader. We're going to talk to him today about Christian leadership in our young people and, of course, about convictional leadership, which I believe he excels at. And I've gotten to know him real well personally. He's become a good friend to both myself and my family, as both of my kids were blessed to be able to attend Cedarville University. So I know you're going to enjoy that conversation today. But first, let's go to school and let's set up today's episode. Today, I want you to know more about what it means to train the next generation of Christian leaders, specifically how we're going to train them to truly impact the culture for Christ. Dr. Alan Pugh, in his book, Rethinking Discipleship, and you may remember him, we had him on the podcast, he said Christian scholars and leaders are noting more and more what seems to be missing in our culture today. And they're saying what is missing is a growing number of young, confident, vibrant Christians who seem to be influencing and penetrating the culture for Christ with a truly biblical life and worldview. Perhaps by now you've heard some of the unfortunate statistics about the numbers of young people that are struggling with a biblical worldview or don't even possess a biblical worldview, and Barna Research has that around 4, 5, 6%. And in contrast, you see the number that identify as nuns, N-O-N-E-S, religiously unaffiliated altogether, rising at 35, 36, 37%. It's no secret then that a new secular worldview without God is trying to reframe reality for most of this country, and nowhere is this starting to become more apparent than that younger generation or ages around 18 to 30. Let me paint a simple picture for you that I think illustrates this dynamic pretty well in terms of what I think is taking place. You know, the typical Christian child spends about 15 minutes a day in face-to-face conversation with their dad. Again, this is a Christian child. That amounts to only about 41 hours a year. That same Christian child spends on average 47 hours a year in church. By contrast, that same child will spend almost 7 hours a day engaged with the media in some way, shape, or form, subject to a barrage of about 1,000 messages a day, which often run very contrary to what they're hearing at home or at church. That child soon realizes that they don't need adults to get information, and they can learn more from that portable device than they can from a teacher in a classroom. That same young person has attended a K-12 school that has long since removed the Bible or the biblical worldview from its curriculum. Christian claims such as creation were not discussed in elementary school. God's hand of providence was not looked at throughout human history in middle school. And in terms of any serious academic discussions in high school, the biblical worldview was left out in subjects like physics and literature, of course, and high school civics. So not once has this young person been challenged to think through the formula, the integration of faith and learning. Then this person goes on and enters the workforce, and perhaps they get a good job at a successful company. But everyone they work with, their personal religious beliefs are just that. They're personal. They're not really a part of what we do here at work or who we are here at work. It just seems best to keep their faith a private matter. And so most people fail to see that real connection between their faith and what it is that they do for a living. It's just not a part of who they are at work. So this is a scenario that plays out for the vast majority of Christians in our country. And I can boil it down to three features that I've just mentioned. Number one, they've not been discipled well as young people. Number two, their formal education has been completely devoid of any biblical worldview truth. And number three, then they fail to see a connection between their work and what it is, their faith and what it is that they do for a living. So this is the picture that my guest and I are devoted to repainting at our levels. We want to create the next generation of Christian leaders, not just students, but leaders of the faith. I believe the next generation of Christian leaders are going to come from those who have had a Christian education, where we're intentionally tackling these three issues. It's my belief that these will be the men and women who most confidently are able to truly impact the culture for Christ. And so we'll talk about that. And then second, we want to discuss what I'm calling convictional leadership, because this is a clear strength of our guest, leading out of your convictions. When you live and lead out of your convictions, people notice and they follow. So we want to hear what he has to say on this issue and how this plays out specifically at his university and what he sees even across our culture. Okay, so let me make two chalkboard points then to wrap this up. Chalkboard point number one, we must give attention to the intentional training of the next generation of Christian leaders. In order to truly impact the culture for Christ, these kids are going to need an education that includes a meaningful discipleship experience, strong biblical worldview training, and the ability to clearly connect their faith and their work. Chalkboard point number two, the leadership that matters most is convictional. It's deeply convictional. Authentic leaders are driven by beliefs that lead to action. And these beliefs define us because we know that they're grounded in the truth. This is the kind of conviction that makes all the difference. All right, there's our chalkboard points for this episode. And now you know more. And as I say, when you know more, you can do more. You can not only think differently, but you can act differently. And you can say no more when you must. So with that, let's go ahead and bring in our guest again, Dr. Thomas White. So good to have you here, brother. We appreciate all that you do. Thanks for being in the studio today.
It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, excellent. Dr. White, a little bit of his background. He earned his Doctor of Philosophy degree and Master of Divinity degrees from Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Then his bachelor's and associates were from Anderson University in South Carolina. So you got the Carolinas covered there, brother.
True.
Right? And the same thing with the seminary. So prior to coming to Cedarville, Dr. White served as vice president for student services and communications, as well as associate professor of systematic theology at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth. So we have the Southeastern and Southwestern. So you've got all those directions covered.
That's right.
That's right. Married to Joy, have two kids, Samuel and Rachel, and still have two dogs?
Still have two dogs. We do.
Excellent.
We actually have one that's a yellow lab that we call Jacket, so she is our yellow jacket.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. Yep. I know they love those dogs. Well, he's well-published, well-spoken. He has the privilege of speaking just about every Monday in chapel, and we'll talk about chapels at Cedarville as well. And he's got to be one of the few college presidents I know that the parents are following along right with the kids, because that's how much they respect the messages and the ministry that he does, and what a blessing to be able to have a college president that's also a trained pastor, preacher, teacher, and leader. And he's also one of the few people, if the only one you will ever meet, that has that extensive a background in systematic theology and is a world-class karate expert. Right? I had to get that in.
That's right.
Yep. So very distinct. Well, thank you again, brother. It's always good to talk to you. And again, we enjoy our connection both here at Mansfield Christian and Cedarville, and the connection you and I have personally. Well, let's get right to it. You wrote in the opening line of one of those CU magazines that do a great job of connecting, and Cedarville does such a good job with that. And we appreciate the publications that you put out, though. Opening line, our culture is at a crossroads. And so you obviously had to give that some the thought there. So indeed it is. And I certainly read the article, but let's elaborate on the audience. You know, why'd you pick that line? What did you mean certainly at that time? And then how do you see this playing out across the country for colleges and maybe even in terms of young people knowing that, yep, they're going to read this, their parents are going to read this. You know, what do you want these young people to know? Because what may be a crossroads issue for them?
Yeah, you already mentioned some of it in your opening when you're helping us to know more. And so as we look at colleges all across the country, with the lack of a biblical worldview, with the lack of a proper foundation, people don't know who they are. They don't know why they exist on this earth. Did I just show up here by random chance? Do I have any reason for being present? You know, what's going on with my life? What am I supposed to do with my life? And well, if it's just about hedonism, if it's just about having fun, there's no real purpose. And so then your job is really just to get more money so you can have more fun. and it just doesn't connect. People don't know why they're here. And so I think the crossroads is a crossroad of truth. Or do we believe in an evolutionary society where we just happen to show up and we are the chief of all the animals? Or do we believe in creation where God created us in his image for his glory, for his purposes? And if we believe that God created us, which is what drives my leadership and my conviction, then I'm a steward of everything else. And my identity then is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. So if you're lost, you don't believe in Christianity. Your identity is in Adam. You are just a human being created in the lineage of Adam, the first man. If you're in Christ, your identity, that ultimate identity, is in Christ alone. And so that's where I find my identity, my purpose. A lot of students don't have that, and they don't have truth. We can't even in secular universities determine the difference between a boy and a girl. Any 3-year-old can determine the difference between a boy and a girl. And yet here we are in a society where we've gotten so smart. It's the Romans spiral down to where we have made ourselves our own gods, our own idols, and we have lost all reason and all rational argument. And being wise in our own eyes, we have become fools. And so we have taught our students and we have taught a generation of young people that truth is found in how you feel. So if my grandfather had gone to a doctor and said, "I feel like I'm a woman," the doctor would have treated his mind because he's crazy.
Yeah.
If a student today goes to a doctor and tells a doctor, "I feel like a woman," they start treating his biology because obviously his inner feelings is now what's determining truth rather than something external to us, that medical knowledge that we have, which ultimately comes from ultimate truth, which comes from God. And so I think we've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to understanding who we are, what our purpose is. I think it's just so freeing when I know who I am, what's wrong with this world, what I'm supposed to do. And so I think that's the crossroads. What are we going to do with our culture? Are we going to continue moving down the path of secular humanism, postmodernism, a lack of universal truth into individual truth that contradicts one another, feelings dominating over fact? Or are we going to get back to just good, rational realism where we recognize there are certain truths in this universe and that somebody put them there? And then we start seeking to learn who that somebody is and how we can live for him.
Yeah, great. I love that. Boy, you could do a whole episode on that. Maybe we ought to call again and say, "Hey, let's do truth," because you're exactly right. A crossroads of truth, because everything does stem off from there. And we're seeing that even at the K-12 level also. And the university level, you know better than all of us do, that's where you go to pursue that, right? That's what that whole phrase come from. Hey, let's go ahead and, right, that's what we're founded on. These 4 years is when you should discover that and realize that yep, we're going to pursue that. And now they're reaching in even to that K-12 level and getting you to doubt that you could ever know that. And if we can even reach those little ones at age, 5, 6, and 7 and convince them early on that, you know what, everything that you see and observe and think in life is subject to opinion, even your gender, like you said. And if I can start to convince a 6, 7, 8-year-old of that early on, then by the time they get to you, they'll believe anything.
That's right.
And they won't stand for anything. So yeah, we're both living in that world. So I love that. Thanks so much for jumping out and saying that right out of the gate. How then is Cedarville trying to cultivate the next generation of Christian leaders? I mean, again, I'm sure audiences, and I get this question a lot too, and I know you do, they'll say, is it just the experience on campus? Is it just, the assumption is we have Christian kids and we'll have Christian activities and, our kids won't drink and they won't use profanity and things like that. We'll create a good Christian environment. Or is there actually something different about what I'm being taught if I'm training to be a nurse? I mean, these are serious career professions. I'm going to graduate out of English Lit, and I'm going to graduate out of some of those things I expect to be freshman level courses, perhaps. But when I get that third or fourth year, maybe fifth year training in my vocation, is it different there, even bell to bell, as we call it in the K-12 world?
It is different. So it's different in the experience and what we're trying to do in the dorm, but it's also very different in the classroom. So when we're hiring a faculty member, I'm interviewing every full-time faculty member we hire. I'm asking them the questions about our doctrinal statement, which they have to affirm as their own beliefs. It's not a historic document. It's not an ancient document. It's not a document you just don't teach against in the classroom, but you say whatever you want to outside. These are their beliefs. They have to sign off on this every single year, personal beliefs. And then for a teacher to have tenure at Cedarville University, they have to write a paper that's on their biblical worldview. We call it the biblical integration paper. They personally articulate their worldview, and then they have to tell me what they affirm, reject, and redeem inside of their discipline. So before a teacher has been here for 6 years, I know whether that teacher, and there's a 2-year and a 4-year checkup too, but I know whether that teacher understands what the Bible says and then how to take that and apply it to his or her discipline. So you take nursing, for example, since you mentioned that. There's a difference between a nurse that thinks they're being the hands and feet of Jesus and a nurse who's going in to get a paycheck because they just like helping people every now and then. And if you have a nurse that genuinely cares because they're showing a compassion that Jesus showed us that we want to then show to other people for a higher purpose and a higher reason, and we're serving the Lord, that's entirely different. When you go to an anatomy class and you start learning about the body, if you're learning about a body that just evolved from chance, from some primordial soup, and somehow we ended up here, it's a very different experience than if you're going into an anatomy class and you're reading Psalm 139 about how God intricately wove us together in the womb. And all of this becomes a worshipful atmosphere where we're looking at a God that's infinitely wise down to the cellular level. And the DNA that he's created in us, the way that he's wired us, the way that he's created the body in his image, but also to work so flawlessly as it does so many times, that causes our students then to worship God. And it's an entirely different atmosphere. It's not just that we are protecting students from a secular humanistic evolutionary worldview. It's also we're giving them an understanding of what a biblical framework does in every single discipline. So all of those faculty members, it's their job to tell the students, this is what this discipline teaches. This is what the Bible says. This is why we reject or why we affirm or how we can redeem certain things. And then the student has the opportunity to make up his or her mind as to what they believe. That's education. A lot of schools want to say that we're doing indoctrination when in fact they are. They're the ones that are only presenting secular humanism and an evolutionary view, and they are just cramming it down the student's throat. There is no truth. Whereas we're saying, here's what the world's going to tell you. Here's what the Bible tells you. And then all of our faculty, because they affirm that doctrinal statement, are saying, here's why we land where we land. But our students don't have to affirm that. Our students get to make an educated, informed decision about what they believe.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, good. Appreciate exactly what you said. I think the other side, and I think that, right, the world perceives that, yep, we're the narrow-minded side that's saying, yep, this is it, and we're going to shut out all those other things. And quite the contrary. We're saying, no, let's lay them all out there on the table, and we'll show you then why this one is the correct, right view. And that does not happen in all those other places. The assumption will be, like I said in the opening, the assumption will be, well, let's start from a different foundation. Let's take God off the table because he either doesn't exist or we don't want to bring religion into this subject matter. So we can't include that here. Well, then you've just eliminated the possibility of discovering truth.
Right. That's right. You'll never know who you are. You'll never know your identity or your purpose on this earth if you've removed God from the equation.
Right. And how much better then to give them all, hey, we'll stack them all up. Let's go after let's do Francis Schaeffer here. Let's go after all of these things and ask questions and let's consider all these things and say, yeah, this is where I need to land based on the mind that I've been given, which is fully capable of. I mean, how many testimonies have we heard over the years of men who intellectually said, I'm going to disprove God. And then, a year later they go, I think I'm in love with the Lord here. This is a wonderful thing, and he does exist, and I'm passionate about my faith now, the Lee Strobels of the world. So, I think that maybe the other side sometimes fears that will happen. So let's keep you guys out of this. Yeah. Well, wrapped into that experience, chapels, you've got to be one of the few left out there, brother, doing 5 days a week. And I know when my wife and I first started that college journey for our own son, Ryan, and we started calling around, we're both educators, so we were a little, we were on it when it came to this thing. We had 5 schools in 5 days. And we said, well, a priority then is we want to see chapel at these schools. And so it was some doing to try to balance those schools, 5 schools in 5 days, to find, okay, how do we get chapel? Because Cedarville was the only one that said, you can come any day, Monday through Friday, you're going to observe a chapel. And so we said, whew, okay, that's good. 70 years you've been doing that. Just put out a great video. I love that. And I love, of course, as all of us parents do, chapel's the heartbeat of Cedarville. Why still such a priority? I mean, you give up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of your own time that all of us are still in amaze that you're speaking, you know, most every Monday. So much studying done. And I know your background maybe lends itself to that, but still, that's kudos to you because you've got a big plate. Why the heartbeat? You know, again, why is it such a priority? Any testimonies or experiences that you think, man, here's what it's all about?
Sure. So we give 10 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday, which we think is one of the best hours for educational purposes. We give that to the Lord because we want to give our best to the Lord. And so this is part of that educational process. It's not a requirement. It's our worship before the Lord as to how we learn more about Him. The more we know about the Lord, the better we can worship and serve the Lord. And so we want to do that. I'm firmly convinced Scripture changes lives. And so Scripture being put in front of our students, the Word being taught clearly, passionately, with good application, I think that's what's going to change the lives of students. It's what changed my life. It's what convicts me of sin. It's what still helps me to live for the Lord today. And so we're convinced that that is what we need to be doing. And that's the heartbeat of every Christian university. If you want to know if they really believe the Bible, if you want to know what's really happening in the classroom, then you can go to a chapel service. And if the chapel service is dead and if nobody's paying attention, you can be assured when you pop the hood and go deep enough into the engine, there's a problem there. There's the lack of passion, a lack of understanding about what we're doing. This generation in particular, they don't know who they are. They have mental health issues. They have depression. They have anxiety. They're on social media way too much. They're staring at phones. They're not building relationships with people. If you can get them in front of a Bible and you can have them in a joint room together, understand that we are created for community and that nobody's life's perfect. No matter what you may see on any social media, everybody's life is messed up. We are all sinners in need of a Savior before a God that is holy and righteous, and there's nothing we can do to earn that. Every last one of us needs mercy and grace at the foot of the cross. They start realizing there's not something drastically wrong with me. I'm just like every other fallen, broken human that has existed on the face of the planet since Adam and Eve. And because of that, maybe I don't need to be so depressed or so anxious. Oh, and wait a second. There's a God who is infinite and sovereign and over all things. And that's where I find my identity. All these other things may describe me. You know, my ability in sports or my talent in music or my athletic ability or my looks or my personality, introvert, extrovert, they may describe me. They don't define me. So the cards get shaken and the foundation gets shaken beneath us and the deck shuffled. All that happens. It doesn't matter if my identity is in Christ. And so if I can know there's a God in control, He's faithful, I can trust Him, that all of us are sinners and none of us are better than anybody else, and we all need the grace of the gospel. And if I can get it through their minds that you have God-given passions, He created all of us with a passion for something, and we have God-given gifts. Every last one of us on this earth has a gift that God has given us. And if we can align those two, the passions and the gifts, train with excellence, then we can go out and use that vocation, that calling, not an occupation, but that vocation as a platform for the gospel as to how we love God and worship Him well and how we love others. So we get rid of that sacred secular divide. And every student graduating from Cedarville understands it's my calling and my reasonable service before the Lord to go use my gifts for His honor and His glory. I don't go to work every day. I get up every day with the opportunity to worship the God that created me and saved me. That means I enjoy what I do every single day I get up. I'm excited about doing it. I'm looking for opportunities to do it better. And that fundamentally changes the purpose of life. So now our graduates go out, whatever career field they've chosen, if they've accurately aligned those God-given gifts and God-given passions, they don't work a day in their life. They get paid for doing what God created them to do. They find fulfillment and purpose in that. Oh, and I just wish the rest of our world could understand that that's the way it's supposed to be. Because it changes the way we look at everyday life and what we do.
Yeah. Amen. Yep. That is so true. We're even trying to do that at the high school levels, even junior high levels, because as you know, there's a big push in, you know, even K-12 now to say, you know, hey, get a head start. Don't you dare go off to college and be undecided. You know, those days are over. You know, we all grew up watching those athletes on TV tell us their major and half of them would say, I'm undecided. Well, those days are over. Nobody wants to waste, you know, they have heard, I will not go into debt. They're very fearful of that. I don't want to go into debt. I don't want to spend 20, 30, 40,000, whatever, every year to be undecided. So I'm going to try to determine my career path early. So that puts some pressure on us Christian schools to say, okay, well, if that's your mindset, you know, okay, we need to help you along a little bit because we need to get you also thinking exactly like you're thinking. Given the skills and interests that you have, you know, where may God be leading you and what does this actually look like? Because you're going to need to know, and especially at the high school level, boy, talk about needing to start from scratch. I mean, most of them, and even their parents as well, are need very much educated on, I don't even know what this career does. What does this do? What are my options? You know, things like that. We started a program called the Career Academy Program just last year. And I'd recently was asked to interview for it with a local online newspaper. And they said, yeah, how does this fit with the mission of Mansfield Christian School? Because you're not a vocational school. You're not a comprehensive school. This is kind of unique for a Christian school, isn't it? And I was like, yeah, that's exactly right. And that was an astute little interviewer who actually, you know, picked up on that. Like, you don't see K-12s doing this a whole lot unless you send them off to a joint vocational school or something like that. What do you mean you guys are going to dabble in trades and things like that? And I said exactly what you said. No, we want to learn how help them to eliminate that whole idea that I don't have a Christian job, sacred, secular, you know, as best I could explain that in their understanding. And we want them to start to learn, how do I see this from a biblical worldview? How do I use this to for the common good of others, for the good of service to my fellow beings? And that could be in a job that the world would say, oh, that's a secular job. No, that's just who you are as a believer. Whether you're in the hospital or the car wash or the school, wherever you're at, you don't have to work at a Christian organization like we are or at a church to be in ministry and to be in Christian. So yeah, I won't get off on that tangent, but great. Yeah, I know that's such a good point. Well, you brought up Gen Z and you said so many things that I would have said we're noticing at this level as well. I have a group called the Ambassadors and it's 5 students that serve as college reps. I got that idea from the college tours I was on with my son and thought, hey, we could replicate this at the high school level. But those are 5 students that I use to really stay in touch, I think, with the culture. And they said a lot of the same things because I'll ask them, hey, what do you want me to talk about in chapel? And they'll say things routinely the last few years, anxiety, identity, uncertainty, ambiguity, grit. We know we lack motivation sometimes. We know we lack, you know. And so, you know, those are issues that they are even already self-aware that we are struggling with these things. And to them, it does seem so complex. So right. To combat those things in chapel and say, you know, that's part of being human. And sure. There's some good answers for it. And let's dig in and find them. But you're not going to get those things unless you intentionally go after some of those answers.
That's right. Right. And yeah. Friendship's another one. Showing up on campus, making friends. How do we make friends? How are we going to be a good biblical friend? What does that look like with brotherly love?
Yeah.
We're on our phones so much. We're not looking each other in the eye, having deep conversations, building life experiences together.
Do you find your leadership team saying, hey, these are the things they need and we need to be intentional in our programmatic elements to go after that angle, you know, stuff that we know they want to hear?
Yeah, we'll talk about all those things. We'll talk about them in chapel. We'll talk about them in smaller groups. Mm. Pornography is another huge issue. So we will always bring in some book groups for those who are struggling with issues of that nature.
Yeah,
they get in smaller groups where they're able to talk more freely and then they're able to have some more accountability. And so depending on the issue we're addressing and the size of it, we'll do it in different ways. But whether we're doing that in our discipleship groups or in our dorm residence life or whether we're doing it just across student life, or in chapel, we're just trying to hit it all. The great thing about the Bible is it hits all of our issues. And so when we dive into the word, and sometimes it hits them even in unexpected ways. And so I'm at Romans 12. And so when I'm walking through that Romans 12 in that second half, it's talking about the marks of a mature Christian. And a lot of those deal with relationships. And so it's amazing to me how preaching through a book will deal with more of the topics that we need to have addressed. And we may not have anticipated that on the front end, but the Lord already knew what was happening. And so he's got us covered.
Yeah, that's amen. And you mentioned the word that I was going to next. And so what you're talking about is something that I bet you many of them are experiencing for the very first time, and that is meaningful discipleship. And I bet you those ways, that's what they're getting.
Yeah, so we're after in small groups, we call them D groups, discipleship groups. Dorms, we have RDs, resident directors, who then choose residence assistants, and then they have small group accountability. We have all of our orgs. Like, we're trying to press this in so many different ways. We think it's so important we put it in our mission statement. So our vision statement is to be for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our mission statement is that we transform lives through excellent education and intentional discipleship. And then the thing that sets us apart is we do that in submission to biblical authority. So that intentional discipleship piece, I expect every faculty member to do it. I expect our advising sessions to contain discipleship. I expect every coach on every team to be discipling his or her players. I expect every RD to be discipling everybody that lives in that dorm. Mm-hmm. We just want a culture of discipleship in every way, even to our staff. So I tell all of our key administrators that every administrative issue is ultimately a discipleship issue. If we're not doing something just right, if we're not doing something, there's usually a reason behind it. And instead of dealing with the symptom, if we can get to the heart condition, that's what we're really after. Same thing in dealing with student discipline and things of that nature. Often what's being manifested on the front, that's not the real issue. The real issue is a heart condition behind it. Well, if I can see past that initial manifestation of what's going on, get into the heart condition and start seeing the heart change, then the behavior ultimately changes. You know, if we know enough about God, we know enough about the Bible, enough about who we are, we can love God and do as we please. The problem is we often love ourselves or our sin more than we love God. And so we've got to change that heart condition before we can get the behavior to follow in line.
Yeah, boy, that's so true. And we're trying to do the same thing at this level, because we tell people this is what, we cannot have a handbook that's 2 inches thick, because we can't think of everything. That's and right. Nor do we really want to. We'd rather shrink it down and talk about, hey, what are the heart issues that are causing some of these behaviors? We can deal with the consequences and work through them as we can. And as you know, teenagers, that's a whole different, it's a whole different ball game, as you know, even from your own kids, because, a lot of times, those behaviors will reveal what's in their heart. And then, of course, we're quick to say, now, what exactly was in your head at that particular moment? I don't know.
Right.
And that's typical teenage, but that not unchecked. Yep. That can play itself out at that level as well. So I love that they are. And I love that you're willing to even mention a topic like pornography, because I'm sure people are listening going, oh, hey, I can't believe he just said that. Wow. Is that something that Christian kids would try? Yeah. I mean, what better place to wrestle with some of those things than a place that you wrestle and get answers?
Right.
And a place that is designed for you to say, hey, come here and wrestle with everything. Well, no, not necessarily saying that, but we are saying if there's issues in your life that you have yet to overcome and you're working through and you recognize those things as something that's a wrong or sinful or something, and you've been convicted of those things, we're here. And we're ready to be a part of that discipleship experience. And that at the university level, that's a big deal. You could easily say, that's way too deep for us. We're not a counseling center. We're not a this and not a that. We got to get you well-trained to be a nurse and move you along.
Right. Right. Yeah. So we tell all of our freshmen when they show up that God has no spiritual grandchildren. So it doesn't matter what mom and dad believed. It matters what you believe. And
that's
we
right.
want you to own your own faith and to be able to defend it and to have your own personal relationship with Christ and learn to walk with God.
Yeah.
And that means we're all sinners. We've all messed up. We've all blown it. So let's lock arms together and work on putting to death the deeds of the flesh by the power of the Spirit and just to continue marching forward together. That's what we're after here. As someone once said, education just tends to make a more clever devil. And so we're trying to combat that by dealing with the soul and the heart issues at the same time that we're dealing with the mind issues.
Well, I think by now the listener has probably sensed that you are a man of great conviction. And so when I say things like, hey, he's a convictional leader, they're probably going, well, yeah, that's no surprise. I figured that out in the last 20, 25 minutes that he's been talking. But it's worth asking again, why is that so important for Cedarville? Why is that so important today where you say, listen, our point person has to be a man of great convictions and model Christian convictional leadership, which I think you do so well.
Yeah, I think you got to know who you are and be comfortable with who you are and be able to clearly articulate with passion who you are. I'm preaching Romans 12 on Friday, so I'm back to that again, where it talks about those who lead to lead with zeal is to lead with passion. And then later on, it talks about leading with zeal again. And the words used there in the Greek is like a boiling in your spirit. And I believe if we don't have leaders that have a boiling in their spirit for what they truly believe and they're convictional about it, And they realize the world is not going to tolerate it or like it or embrace it or accept it. And that's okay. That we need to know who we are and with compassionate conviction, articulate that to a culture that's desperately looking for answers because they know they don't have them. Then if we can do it right, the brighter that light is, the brighter that light shines, the more people that we're going to be able to see that light, be attracted to that light. That light's going to be what overcomes the darkness and what overcomes evil. And so we just need to stop being ashamed of who we are. Christ wasn't ashamed for us when he was up on the cross. And he says, if you're ashamed of me, I'll deny you in front of my Father. And so we need to quit being ashamed of Christianity and the Bible and what it says. It is the truth. There is a cosmic battle between good and evil. And the evil one is trying to get us just to mind our own business and enjoy life and do nothing. And instead, we need to stand up and say, no, this is the truth. And this is the battle we're fighting. And this is the God who is worthy. And this God changed my life and he can change your life too. And I think when we do that, other people who are looking for that same message come alongside and say, yes, that's the message I want. And that's why we have students saved every year at Fall Bible Conference. That's why when I was preaching Romans 8 earlier this semester, a student comes up that said she'd been struggling with suicide and depression and all of these thoughts. And she said, you really believe Romans 8? You really believe there's a God who loves me no matter what, and that nothing can separate me from that love? And I said, I don't even believe it. I know it. I've lived it. And that's right. Revolutionary to somebody wrestling with these mental health issues to know that there is a God who knows them fully and loves them completely. And nothing they can do can separate them from that God. That comfort is something the world can't provide. So we need leaders that'll just be unashamed of it, stand up, proclaim it. Not about us. It's about the God that we're pointing people to. But we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
When you did your bus tour last summer, was that part of your, that what drove you, not literally, but what put you on that bus and said, hey, I am trying to be that voice across the country? And then what were the results? I mean, it sounds like, from what I'm perceiving, you've seen exactly what you're talking about, people attracted to that message.
That's right. Well, we called it the Transform Tour because we've all been transformed by the grace and mercy of Christ. And we went all around the country and we've seen people who came out that knew nothing about Cedarville. They didn't know there was a place that was really going to stand convictionally for the truth. And they come to these events and they can't believe there's people that believe just like they do. We really believe the Bible. And if we really believe a guy got on a cross, died on a cross, went to a grave, got up out of the grave, ascended to heaven's coming again on a white horse, that should change everything we do. I mean, that makes us people that are convictional in every single way if we genuinely believe the Bible message. And so they heard it. They resonated with it. That's why we have 8 students from one church in California coming next fall to be freshmen that were at one of our Transform Tour stops. And so we just want to let people know there's a place. There's a place where you can come, and we believe the Bible. We genuinely believe it. It's changed our lives, and we want to help another generation come after us. I mean, it's 2 Timothy 2:2. We want to tell others who then can tell others. It's just a faithful transition of the knowledge of the God that saved us to the next generation in such a way that they can then faithfully transmit that to the next generation as well. That is discipleship. That's what we're after. And the student numbers are really good for us and continue in growth. And that's, I think, one way that the Lord's blessing. And it's not about the numbers. It's about the faithful stewardship of every student he sends us. But as long as we're going to be faithful to point them to Christ, I hope he'll keep sending us more of them so we can do that in a way that impacts the kingdom more.
Well, yeah, amen. And it's hard to argue with the data, right? 15 years of record enrollment, giving, I'm sure, has never been higher, what I'm tracking as well. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, it's not all about that, but you can't ignore those things. I mean, that's the data that we all look at and say, well, is this message resonating? Apparently so.
That's right. Yeah God's been gracious to us and faithful to us in all those ways.
Right. Sure. You're getting to be that campus. You know, we're all saying this behind your back. You're getting to be that campus where no matter when we drive in every year, something building, there's construction, there's something going on, right? And that's said of those that are just always, growing. But it's nice to be that campus that is, right, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years in a row that, man, we're always renovating, we're always expanding, we're always growing, because obviously that message is attracting. Yeah, I feel the same, even like I said, even at this level also. And I just told an audience this on Monday night that was gathered here for a prayer meeting. And I just opened and they want to know how can we pray for the school and things like that. And I said, well, never before have I, even at this level, had to get up on stage and identify clearly who we are. Because, you know, we're not a church. I'm not a pastor. By default, I'm the spiritual leader here. And so are the board. And we have our statement of faith and we have our positions out there, which don't reflect a particular denomination as an interdenominational school. But our parents are desperately asking me, I want to know what the school believes and why they believe it and exactly what you're going to be telling my child, especially now as so many of them came here, you know, through COVID, because it exposed some things and they saw what was out there and they said, whoa, I didn't know it was like that. It wasn't like that when I went to school 30 years ago or something like that. So now they're saying, I kind of want to know what the curriculum looks like. What are you teaching my child? And Dr. Smith, would you say this on stage at a Christmas program? Right. You know, I'm being asked those things because my family needs to hear it. My cousins need to hear it. My aunts and uncles need to hear it. Things like that, where they can have confidence that they're sending their child to some place that believes like we do. Right. And if you step on some toes, that's okay.
That's right.
And I've never received in the last 2 to 3 years where I've really started to become more intentional at, you know, typical K-12 moments, you know, your Christmas programs, your graduations, things like that, where I'm up on stage. You know, we had Dr. Van Loo on stage a couple years ago. When we go up on stage and say those kinds of things, all of the sudden, and again, I've been doing this for 32 years, all of the sudden now in the last 3-4 years, amen, brother. Preach it, brother. Amen. Yep, that's right. Standing up. I mean, they're interacting, they're outspoken, they're coming up to me afterwards and saying, hey, thanks for saying something. Thanks for taking a stand. Thanks for being, you know, who you are, who the school is, things like that. And you know, of course, that just prods me to want to do more and recognize that, yeah, the culture needs those leaders to speak out and wants a clarity so badly and is excited about that.
That's right. I'm glad you're doing it. Keep doing it, brother. Keep going.
We'll see. I just keep trying to move them through and send them off to good places like Cedarville. Yeah. So continued growth and congratulations on all of that. Any other blessings that you want the audience to know about that you're excited about there at Cedarville? And then in closing, how can they get in touch with you if they want to know more about the ministry of Cedarville or Dr. White? Or if you say, hey, I'd love to hear about those chapels. Where do they go? Do they just hop on the website or what do they do?
Yeah, so our website's just www.cedarville.edu. They can find everything they want to know there. I have social media out there. You can find it on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook if they're interested in that. All of our chapels are streamed online, but our Bible Miner is also streamed online for free. It's truth in advertising and transparency in what we're doing. So parents can now take the Bible Miner with their student, or they can take it without their student just for their own personal edification. Local churches can use that as well. And so if you just go to Cedarville and you type into our search thing, Bible Miner Project, you'll pull up all 5 of those classes for free. New Testament, Old Testament, Systematic Theology 1 and 2, and Bible and the Gospel. And then you can watch our chapels and you can even subscribe to podcasts and you're able to get the sermons as they roll out. And so you can do all of that. You know, the blessing I love the most is when the Lord changes the lives of our students. When we see them repenting of sin, when we see them as we did at Fall Bible Conference with about 30 students that made professions of faith, first time owning their faith, repenting of their sin, putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that's eternal work. That's something that's going to stand the test of time. That's why we do what we do, is to see our students grow in their faithfulness with Christ. It says, the word says, you know, you have no greater joy as a parent to know that your children walk with the Lord. You have no greater joy as an administrator in education than to know that your students are walking with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So when we see those lives changed, that's where the joy comes from. That's what gets us fired up to keep going and to keep being bold in our leadership, to keep saying the things that will change lives, which comes from God and His Word. And so that's why we are for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ at Cedarville.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much again for doing what you're doing, because those of us in this level, we follow along closely. And it doesn't really matter what you're doing. We know that it's been carefully thought out. It's professionally done. It's bathed in prayer. So we follow a lot of those things and we look for those successful organizations at one level and we replicate those down below. So thank you for modeling that well, from leadership to to all aspects of running a Christian organization. Thank you also for joining me today. I appreciate your good words and taking the time to do that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, yeah, thank you again. And thank you, audience, for joining me today on the Clearly Christian Podcast. And I trust that now you know more about training the next generation to truly have an impact for Christ and training the next generation to be Christian leaders in our world. It's so desperately, desperately needed. Again, if you like what you hear, I'd encourage you to hit the subscribe button, leave a review, leave a message. Again, that'll let others know the show is worth listening to and help us advance the cause of Christian education. Remember, as I always say, the only way we're going to turn things around in this country is to increase the number of people who live and operate every day with a truly biblical life and a worldview. And the very best hope we have for achieving that is giving this next generation a Christian education, either at Christian schools or in Christian home education as well. So until next time, we'll see you then. This is Dr. Cy Smith on the Clearly Christian Education Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Clearly Christian Podcast with Dr. Cy Smith. Hear more episodes at clearlychristianeducation.com. If you'd like more information about Christian education in your neighborhood, or if you're interested in education opportunities at Mansfield Christian School, or if you agree with Dr. Smith and want to help him in his mission to influence and awaken Christian America, you can send Dr. Smith an email through the clearlychristianeducation.com website. Message him on the Clearly Christian LinkedIn or Facebook page, or call the Clearly Christian Connect line at 419-756-5651. This has been the Clearly Christian Podcast with Dr. Cy Smith on clearlychristianeducation.com, brought to you in conjunction with Mansfield Christian School, a Bryan Media production.